It's 18:04, and I call the meeting to order. Let's do a board member roll call. This is Paul Ashton, chair, present.
Kurt Bondren.
Morgan Kane.
Bobby Strang.
That is everybody. It appears that we do not have anyone present for the public comment period, so we will move straight into the approval of the minutes from the January meeting. If everyone can take a few minutes to review them.
I would move adoption of the minutes as presented.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, minutes have been approved. We can move right into old business.
Old business is the inauguration Assembly Monitoring Report, the status, as is per our last report, the Police Foundation continues to review the body camera footage, which is high volume, and they have also received and started reviewing the court transcripts. The court transcripts are the criminal cases that were heard from the protesters, and in that case, there were several. What they're most interested in is reviewing the police department's testimony from some of the experts on the police department that testified about it, and some of the community members and some of the witnesses. And they're reviewing that part now. So they're still working on it, and we're still expecting a report at the latest by June is what we have written into the contract. So. That's what we're doing on that one, and that completes the old business.
I'm just flying through this meeting.
Yes. I can talk slower.
Please. Moving on to the agency report.
The main critical issue is the
You're
number
too fast.
Of complaints that we are receiving. We are on track to receive even more complaints than last year, and last year was our all-time record high.
You can talk.
I just wanted to emphasize that.
Yeah.
We're seeing the acceleration of complaints has slowed down, but we are still getting more complaints, and we haven't seen that drop off to significant degree. So that's of concern that we have to keep an eye on. And I'll talk about that a little bit more with respect to how it's affecting our data and statistics when I get to the last page of the report. But that's the main critical issue that we got to keep an eye on. For reports and policy recommendations, you know, we put out three really good reports over the past 2 months. The use of force report, the update on the implementation of various policies over the previous two fiscal years by the departments, and then the parking and towing report. I understand, and we haven't seen it yet, Commander Kane, maybe you have or not, that the department was going to come out with a new general order on parking and towing, that they were working on that?
They are working on it.
All right. So that was put in our report, too, and we haven't, that was the one that we just put out last week.
Yeah.
So those were three reports that Alicia worked very hard on in this room and did a good job on, along with Matt.
Just a quick question.
Sure.
Particularly related to the March 14th one, was there a press release that went out?
That one, we just put out. We put out a limited, what I call a limited press release. We sent it to our favorite media outlets and didn't do a general press release on it because it wasn't that type of an issue. That's
yeah. Okay.
A lot of people.
I'm just wondering. So I'm just curious because is it possible to, not that I want to get every email on the planet, but to be BCC'd or something, just so that we know when something like that goes out on behalf of the
yes.
board.
Yes, and we...
Because Nikisha has forwarded us stuff in the past, but...
Sure.
Like, I didn't see anything related to this.
That's right, we didn't put out a press release. We forwarded the information to WTOP, a couple of reporters at Washington Post, and a couple other places, our main media contacts.
Yeah.
How do we determine what we do a limited release for versus a full-blown partial?
Just one that I'll make a judgment call.
tell you the truth. I'll just look at it and say, is this one that's going to create a public debate or controversy, like the use of force report? We knew that ahead of time that was going to be one. But this one, it affects more of a limited number of people, but it's still important for the department to know about it. Nobody really picked up on it from the media. That's kind of what we expected. We kind of want to reserve our big rollouts for the ones we really want coverage on, because if we, you know, put things out every other week, then it kind of diminishes the impact of the ones that we want to emphasize. So that's how that typically works. And in response to your question, Paul, as of today now, we are on Twitter. We did our tweet. It's
what was the inaugural tweet?
At District OPC. Just, I don't know what you put on there, but we're alive or something, you know. At District OPC.
See if you can find it.
Yeah, it comes
district
up right away.
Spelled out.
There it
district
is.
District spelled out in OPC.
Follow.
Or even if you put in police complaints or DC police complaints, it all comes up
at
right away.
Welcome to the Office of Police Complaints Twitter feed.
There it is.
We'll be monitoring them.
What so was it again? At
District OPC.
Because there's another OPC.
Yeah,
there?
We got, yeah.
People's Council.
Yeah. Yes. DC OPC is already taken up.
How do you, this is off topic though, for Google Alerts, right? What should I put in to make sure that I'm getting your mentions?
Nikisha probably has Google Alerts set up.
No, it's just, you know how you do a Google Alert.
Right, right. I'm not sure what search terms. Because
I'm getting every office of.
Oh my God, I know, right? I can't get
everywhere.
England.
Right, exactly.
Most,
yeah.
I'm like, not applicable.
I don't know what she does.
I would say, you know, the Twitter one is going to be oriented towards us, and it's going to have a lot of stuff that's the same thing that's going to be on the Facebook page. And,
you know, the Google
you just
alerts,
want
they
the
come
news
to your
alerts.
Email.
Am I your first? I'm your first
They come
follower.
To your email.
She just
ask,
did
you
it
are?
Like 20 minutes ago.
They have yeah.
I can ask Nikisha if she can send you
yeah.
what she uses. I'm happy to do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure which one she uses. She just updates me
I didn't
on,
know we did
on it. She follows a lot of them.
But I'll see if she can just send you all what she does in case you have an interest in that as well.
Mm.
Yeah, that will help.
So that's big news. We're moving into 2018 now.
There's the inaugural.
It's been
Welcome
in the making
to the
for
Office of Police
2 years.
Twitter feed. We will be monitoring the D.C. police handling of March for Our Lives in D.C. on Saturday, March 24th.
My next
More
item
information
on the agenda.
To come.
There we go. So we will be monitoring March for Our Lives. We will have three teams of two people out. Right, Alicia?
Yes.
We are all set to
three
go.
Three teams of two people?
Yes.
Three teams of two people. That's pretty much the most we put out, other than we put out more than for the inauguration, but because of the volume of people that are expected. But it is, we're expecting it to be in a more enclosed area since it's a rally versus a march from 3rd Street to 13th, basically.
Are they putting up fence around that? Because it's not clear from the articles. They
said no.
Because they say there's entrances here and entrances there, which implies like entrances at 7th Street and somewhere else, which implies that it's going to be an enclosed area.
The box is going to be shut down from E Street down to Independence, 3rd over to 14th, I think it is, where it will be boxed in and shut down to vehicle traffic.
Okay.
But we're not like searching folks coming in or a checkpoint where you're going to be.
So it's not fencing going up?
I think they're going to have fencing in some of the barriers in certain spots. There'll be fencing like when we have the chutes on, I think, 12th Street for the medical, you know, evacuation and stuff like that. And there'll be some places where they have the barriers. And we'll use the trucks like we always do to create, you know, the big trucks, like trucks and all that to create barriers.
I have a feeling it's going to be packed like the Women's March.
So do we. We have a feeling, too. It's just going to be crowded. We're not expecting, there's no threats, credible threats or anything like that. We're just expecting the volume. So.
And I got the impression that the MPD's primary mission is to protect the people that are attending the rally. That's the emphasis, right? They're not, because they're not expecting any outside issues to develop, any outside groups. So hope, we're looking forward to an uneventful monitoring on Saturday.
Yeah. Hopefully everything will go well. It's just volume. Hopefully everything will go well. We're always concerned about
safety.
Right, exactly. And whatever the possibility could be. So, you know, the big thing now is to for the vehicle attacks. So we're trying to prepare for that.
Yeah.
It's a full-scale activation for the department. Everybody's working, so they're more than enough.
We'll have six.
Six tier. 3,500.
Well, I'm sure they'll be a lot. All right. Well, continuing on then, and speaking slowly. speaking faster. On the board report for outreach, I just wanted to mention the DC Bar put on a program that I was a panelist on, and this program was really the result of, again, Alicia. She sits on the committee, but it really tells you, you know, the bar is getting involved in some very interesting things now, and this was a very interesting seminar. It had a good turnout. You know, I mean, other panelists were the ACLU and some Black Lives Matter
Who's
we remember her name?
I would have to double check her name.
Goggins.
April Goggins.
Yes. April was there. Yeah.
Yes.
April was there.
And we also had Eugene Prayer from.
From the whatever's
the police terror project.
Yeah.
Who both came to our hearing and said they trust us.
Oh, April did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's a president of one of our local unions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Well, you know, one of the things that makes this job worthwhile is every once in a while something happens that makes it more worthwhile, and that happened at the performance review hearing that for our budget in front of the council. So April Goggins shows up to testify about OPC, and she was one of the first people that got up there. And she said that in the past, they did not have confidence in what we did, and now what they do is they encourage people to file complaints because they have confidence in what we do.
Oh, really?
And to me, that was the biggest takeaway from the whole performance mm-hmm. hearing, was somebody came in to say something like that mm-hmm. from Black Lives Matter, to say that they have a lot of confidence in what we do, and that made the day worthwhile for me, because that's why we're here, mm-hmm. you know. So that was a very worthwhile. Internship activities. We're right now, we're kind of in the middle of just starting internship interviews for the summer. We're working on that. I guess we got at least 60 applicants already just for investigator interns, and we only have 2 slots. So really good turnout on that. All of our investigators are scheduled with MPD now for their 2-day in-service. That's already started now, but we're starting, when do we start? Next month? In a couple of weeks, right? In April. The way that works is we send 2 investigators at a time through on different weeks. Once a week, a couple of investigators go together, and they attend and sit in all the classes that the officers do for their 2-day annual in-service, mm-hmm. which is called, not in-service here, it's called, yes, PDT here. Mm-hmm. Let's see. That was it on the main part of the board report. If nobody's got any questions, I'll talk about the investigation status, the last part of the report, the numbers. Mona's not here. She's putting on her parents' 50th wedding anniversary party in Seattle, I guess, today. So I gave her special permission to go.
What a softy.
status of open cases. And again, this was from last week then when we last ran the numbers, so they're about a week behind, but pretty close. We've got a lot of cases under investigation, 123 at this point, and 170 open. What's significant about that 170, though, is even though we have more cases open than we have in the past, our average so far this year on from case opening to case closing right now is 68 days.
So we're staying very close to, you know, 2 or 3 months on from the time we get the case to closing it, overall average. You know, there's going to be outliers, the ones that go for discipline, the ones we're waiting for U.S. attorney or other information. There's always some outliers, and some will get done earlier, some later. But again, that's, if we can stay at that number, I won't be so nervous about the cases, you know, the complaints going up. And it's due to our changes in the process, some of the other things that we can do with the cases, and it's due to investigators, you know, punching out cases and working their way through them. So, sort of mixed news. Yeah, we're getting a lot more complaints. If we get the same number of, if we continue the rest of the year the way we're going, we're headed for more than 800 complaints. And this last year, which was the all-time record year, we were at 773, which was even a couple hundred more than before. So those are big numbers. But I keep emphasizing, and I did several weeks ago in front of the council, and I will next week when I testify on our fiscal 19 budget in front of the council, I will emphasize that I need them to keep an open mind, that we're still watching this, and if we need help, I won't hesitate to ask for it. But I'm still not ready to ask for it yet. We don't have a long enough history about this increase, because I'm still wondering why it's so high, and the fact that, you know, over the history of the agency over the last decade and a half, it's been a series of fluctuations. So it's still not sure if this is a fluctuation or if this is going to be something more long term. We're going to have to wait it out and see where we're going with it.
So, sorry, just out of curiosity, have we been in communication with other agencies in other cities? Have they had similar spikes in numbers?
I haven't seen it. I'm not aware of it. So,
I mean, we keep in contact with Chicago and San Francisco, and no one else is steadily rising.
I mean, we know all of them, but the thing is, we have some unique circumstances here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we always have to keep in mind. You know, the jurisdiction changed. The NEAR Act changed.
Right.
The referrals changed.
I'm going to say, do any of the ones you keep in touch with, are they responsible for all citizen complaints? How we transferred mm-hmm. over to, and they keep nothing?
Yeah, they're all different.
That's what I'm saying. Thing. So yeah. Is there yeah. anything that's comparable to what we do here?
I mean, Chicago takes what? Chicago.
No, they don't either.
No, they don't.
No.
I thought with the new program, they switched to that.
No, there's a lot of them that they don't handle anymore. So, yeah, it depends on the agency, some of them there. I would say one of the closest ones, the closest two probably would, that take all of them, and that with some exceptions, probably would be Seattle and San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Even Chicago really... is more takes more of the use of force and serious incidents, and they have a certain jurisdiction now. They just changed where they don't get them in all that internal affairs keeps.
Mm-hmm.
And they were here, and they went over to MPD too, internal affairs. Maybe you met with them when they came. I don't know. But we were talking about that, how that was changing a little bit. So they're all different. But we are the only one I know of that has, with full deployment of body cameras, that has had a substantial increase. But again, it coincides with other changes that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to parse out what the reasons are. All I can say to everyone here is we've got to wait this out. And I know that the council will be willing to help us. That's the impression I've gotten over the last year from everybody I've talked to down there. If we need the help, I'm fairly certain that it's going to be there. But I want to wait to see if we really need it or not. We no longer, you'll see on the pending formals that there's now a zero mm-hmm. on there. That's because we're no longer going to track those separately. It was kind of a no-name category. We looked at it a couple times over the last two quarters and found out that it's really not worth tracking anymore. It was a category of cases where some people we had indicated they may or may not file a complaint, so mm-hmm. we kept track of those separately.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that even ended up filing a complaint ultimately was such a small number that it was it wasn't helping us. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna not
even track a category pending form. Because the other thing it did was it created more administrative paperwork that we had to do. Because now it was a whole separate category of cases that we kept track of. So now that's 37 other file folders and entries and multiple computer entries and forms that we don't have to take care of anymore.
So these would be people who made an inquiry or who had partially completed a form? Does that happen very often?
No, generally, no. They came in, they called, and they contacted us.
They were told you need to fill out, you need to do further,
right.
And they never...
Right. Right.
I think it was like 30 in all of last year. Well, it was 37 this time last year.
Yeah. So, if you're wondering what that is, it's not on here, not just because it was a category that wasn't helping us with things, but it eliminates some administrative work, and we're looking for every which way to streamline things with the amount of complaints that are coming in. Dismissals are up, but that's natural. Dismissals are up about 50%, but our complaints are up about 80%. So that's to be expected. The last thing I wanted to mention on cases are the rapid resolutions. There were 14 up until last week. I wanted to give you an example of one that we had a couple of weeks ago that was really an excellent example. There were several boys that were on their way. I think it was that third district or fifth? Remember, I know it wasn't yours. It was three or five.
It was three.
So they were on their way to some after-school boys club type of program. And apparently they were looking in cars or something in the street. Somebody called in. I don't know if they called in that one of them had a gun or whatever, but several district officers stopped them. They were all about to enter this after-school boys club thing. And they stopped them as they were entering. They frisked them. They talked to them. And ultimately took no action and let them go in. And the director of that program contacted us with a complaint about language and conduct and how it was handled. We looked at the body camera and other things, determined there was no rule violation, but we figured this would be an excellent one for rapid resolution to send it back to the district. And what we suggested and what the district agreed to was let's have the officers or the community affairs person at the district go over to this after-school program, meet with the director, meet with these kids, talk about what the police do, talk about what happened, and sort of like a community mediation thing. So that's a really excellent example of what we can do now. Before, that person would have gotten a letter from us saying, sorry, no violation here, there's nothing we can do. You know, now we can help them out and help out the police department with it. So good example of a rapid resolution case. Just wanted to point that one out. Right, Bob? Were you in on that one? I don't remember.
Yeah, it was it.
And the boys were in the at-risk program, so they all had interactions with the criminal justice system. And they gave plenty of reasons for the police officers to do what they did. They were looking at cars, and then when they tried to stop them, they ran. And the boys explained that they ran because they wanted help from their teachers, the instructors, at the church where they went to. And one of the officers drew a weapon, didn't point it, but drew a weapon. It caused a lot of concern from the instructor that, what are they doing to these kids that come to a program? So there's a lot of information, a lot of miscommunication that occurred that this is going to really help. And these boys are going to be around. So that's
what age is this boy?
The one was over 18.
But high school?
16,
17. 16, 17, 18. Yeah. So maybe we can help with this program. So great example. So those are the main things I wanted to point out on the investigation status page, and that completes the board report.
Mike, there was an article, I think, in the New York Times about the NYPD, and Times invented this term, testifying, I think. Did you see it? What happens and we're doing an investigation, if, particularly with the body-worn camera, if we find a police officer has misrepresented something, but it doesn't pertain necessarily to the citizen complaint, that information sent over to Internal Affairs?
Yes, we will refer that, and we'll give that information to the Internal Affairs. In fact, I just sent one back to you, Bob. I don't know if you saw it today. You'll see it. So if there's something outside of our jurisdiction, and it may even be something the complainant doesn't even know about, but we saw it on the camera, we'll send it over, and they can do what they want with it. It's not part of the complaint. We don't follow up on it.
Correct, right.
So that's what we're doing now. Because we should do something.
Right.
Even though it's not our jurisdiction. So, like what would be an example of that would be, forget the one that I gave you just today.
A mistake of law, usually, where they misinterpret some element of law that's not really part of the complaint. And we just have the MPD, just look at the video. If you think anything's wrong, you could respond to that, supervisor or academy person.
Well, and that's more for counsel.
Yeah, it would more be, it would be something was said on the video that wasn't in the presence of the complainant. That would be a good example of it. Or sometimes it's even the officer that conducted the traffic stop did not activate video, but he or she activated it for the traffic stop before that and the one after that. We can see that. And every other officer that arrived later, we had one like that. Every officer arrived later as a backup activated their camera, but the one officer that had the interaction that was the complaint was all about did not activate. So something like that would be sent to make the department aware of it. We just recently sent on a policy training referral an officer that had a habit, at least in two complaints we had, had a habit of not activating the camera, and he had activated it in the traffic stops before that on the same day. So it wasn't like it was a body camera issue, but he had made a determination in this stop for whatever reason he wasn't going to activate it, and it turned out that was the one that was, both of those were the ones that complainants had a language and conduct complaint on, so.
Are we talking about that in the sense of were you the article with testifying?
Yeah.
Are the, and those were the examples?
These,
well,
these seem to be a little bit different. Not when you're bad, I'm glad to hear the situations are.
But even further, when we have evidence that somebody purposefully lied, whether it be an officer or a complainant, we do have it within our authority to refer it to the U.S. Attorney's Office. And we have done that.
Okay.
For complainants and and officers, nobody should be lying in their interviews.
Right.
There's a case pending and for trial right now of a complainant that lied. It didn't come up as a result totally of the body camera footage, but in part to it. Mm-hmm. And we actually, it was such a blatant example of lying. She was complaining of excessive use of force, and it was not supported by any of the camera footage or any of the testimony or evidence. And then we found out that she had filed a claim against the district for money damages for it, too, and was in the stages of starting a lawsuit. So we referred that to the U.S. attorney, and they charged her for a false complaint with our office. And that's pending right now. And it was set for trial, but it was adjourned once. I don't know what the status
it's
is.
It's set for April.
Yeah. So yeah, we do that, too. Okay. That's pretty much all I... Yeah, and I am talking as slow as I possibly can.
Well, it is 6:30.
It is 6:30. So if there's nothing else, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Yes.
Is there a second?
Yes.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned at 6:33 p.m.
Model of efficiency.
I have to call my ride early.